following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Please open your Bible to Philippians. We're going to do a Philippians review. That was already up on the screen, wasn't it? And so tonight, it's a Philippians review. And we're not going to go back to read Acts chapter 16, but I want to encourage you to do that. Sometime probably before the night is over, when you get home, go read Acts chapter 16, starting at verse 6 to the end of it. And that's what we have in the history book of the early church, the book of Acts, about what God did when Paul finally got on track with him and ended up leaving Asia and going into Europe. So we've invested 7 weeks in our brief study of this joyful letter, joy-filled and joyful letter from Paul, where he's in Rome in what? Prison or house arrest, one of the two. And he's writing to his friends in Philippi, about 500 plus, maybe close to 600 miles east in Macedonia. And the letter, I'm sure you've noticed that it has been filled with encouragement because they needed encouragement. It's been an invitation to live a joy-filled life. How many of you want to live that kind of life? How many of you have ever found it a little bit elusive at times when we get our minds on the wrong things and get our hopes fixed in the wrong place? And he's told us and them as well, obviously, as he wrote to them. He told them how deep, and I love this part, how deeply he loved them and how much he missed them and how much he was praying for them and how he bragged on them. He was letting everybody know what wonderful people those Philippians were. And he thanked them for their steady support in the gifts and the financial help that he sent their way. Even though, remember last week, he said, I didn't really need it. And I wasn't speaking as if I was, you know, in this deep need. I wasn't complaining, but thank you, you did well. And no, they knew that certainly he would need some of it. And whatever he didn't need, it would be passed on to others. And so he thanks them for their steady support and their gifts and their financial help. And he encouraged, anybody remember the name of the guy? The title he gave him was my good helper, my co-worker, my co-labor, faithful helper. But in the Greek, faithful helper was sunzugos. Everybody say sunzugos. You forgot it, didn't you? You wanted to hear it again because you want to name your next child sunzugos, I would imagine. Or your business, maybe. And so he encouraged this faithful helper to step into a fight that was going on between a couple of Christian sisters. Let's get the peace back into the family. And he reminded them of their gospel mission, that they were in the place that they were because they had a task. They had a mission to stay on, the gospel mission, to take the gospel of Jesus wherever they could. And the results of whatever they did, It'll be known in eternity. We don't know it now. But think about this. They were his gospel mission. They were the ones that were in the middle of his road when he finally got the direction of God straight and he headed for them. You see, Paul had stepped out. I think I got this up on the screen for you. Paul had stepped out in faith and followed a dream. How many of you would be ready to follow a dream like Paul followed a dream? And throw everything into it because he had a dream one night about some dude in Macedonia that said, come on over here and help us. And that's all Paul needed. God was closing doors one right after the other in Asia Minor. And he said, it must not be Asia. And he's camping there up in the northwest corner of Asia Minor. And he had that dream that night. And so he stepped out in faith and he goes from Asia into Europe. And from the familiar, culturally for certain, from the familiar to the unfamiliar. And God has a habit of nudging us to do the same thing. How many of you could say there's some episodes in your life where God calls you into the uncomfortable, unfamiliar? And you're thinking, what am I doing here? I don't fit here. Culturally, maybe way, way different. Joy and I moved from Desert Hot Springs, California, into Australia. And it was a different culture. There's no question it was a different culture, but it was a near culture. It wasn't quite like being embedded in the Himalayan highlands. That would have been a drastic cultural change. But he steps out into the unfamiliar, and you know, as they say, the rest is history. And now Paul is telling the Philippians, he says, I want you to just pass it on. What I gave you, just pass it on. Are any of you, I'm not going to use the O word, but are any of you mature enough to remember a Christian musical that was around back in either the late 60s or the early 70s called Pass It On? Did any of you ever hear the songs from that? You should look it up. There were some really, really great songs in there. It only takes a spark to get a fire going, and then all those around can warm up in its glowing. It had interesting writing in it, but it was the bottom line was, pass it on. The world's waiting to hear. You know what I think? I think that musical, which was sung in, you know, probably very conservative churches all over America and probably all throughout the English-speaking world. Maybe it was translated other places. And it was lifted up as a prayer. God heard that prayer. And people began to pass it on. And they got out of their comfort zones. And they came to places like maybe where you were, where you heard the gospel. And somebody got bold enough to step into an uncomfortable situation, open their mouth, open their heart, and share Jesus with someone. And he's telling them, do the same thing. Now, it's your turn to pass this on. Pass on the gospel. Even in the midst of frustrations while you're trying to figure out, where now, Lord? What's next for me? And even in the midst of difficulties and threats, and even, like in Paul's case, even if you get locked up, Paul was saying, the bars didn't stop me. You know, the chains didn't stop me. I'm going to continue to preach the gospel. So he's telling them, once you have your marching orders from the Lord, it's time to go for it. So tonight, as we close up our study in Philippians, we're going to do two things. Everybody say number one. Somebody say, what's number one, Pastor Bill? I'm kidding. We're going to read Philippians. We're going to read all of Philippians in one sitting. You know how long it's going to take? Anybody take a guess. I heard 10 minutes. How many? How about 15 minutes? Almost exactly, because I'm going to be reading, and I timed myself on reading one page. And so I did the math, and I think it's going to take 15 minutes to read it unless I speed up a little bit or I have to stop to take a drink of water. But first of all, we're going to read the whole letter of Philippians, all 104 verses. So I'm going to ask you, keep your Bible open. And I'm going to ask you also, as we're reading, I want you to mark something. Maybe you can, if you don't like marking in your Bible, that's okay. Then, you know, write on the back of your hand. If you don't like writing on your hand, write on the back of somebody else's hand. And a verse that just really pops out to you and speaks to you as I read past it, because we're going to do something with that at the end. Second thing is what we're going to do, and that is I'm going to teach you a very, very simple method of personal Bible journaling. Some people would call this devotions, or a method of reading your Bible and journaling that you might call quiet time. You'll get all alone at home, whether it's, you know, at your dining room table in the morning before anybody else gets up, or maybe out in the backyard and in a porch swing or something like that. But quiet time, although in that quiet time, you're going to be asking God to not be quiet. You're going to be asking God, speak to me. Let me not just read the scriptures, but let me hear what you have to say to me. Let something jump at me. Shoot your arrows, Lord, right at my heart. Now, this is all about how to study the Word of God for your own personal growth and how to listen for the voice of God in the place where He typically speaks to us all, in His Word. Of course, He'll speak directly to your heart. Of course, He'll direct you. But the primary place we get God's Word is in His Word, the Bible. Amen. Okay? So, as we read Philippians again, watch for a particular verse or two, or maybe even a half a verse, just a phrase that just really jumps at you, and mark it. Mark that verse. Remember that verse. And we'll take a few minutes at the end of our reading together to actually do some journaling. And you're all going to get this. Not right now. You're all going to get something that looks just like this. On one side, it's a sample of a very brief devo that somebody did, a devotional journaling that somebody did. And on the back is the blank. And you're going to fill that in. And we're going to take enough time, because it's only going to take how long to read this? 15 minutes. So should we get going? Yes, Pastor Bill, let's get going. And I want to show you this one verse first, though, before we do. It's not in here. It's not in Philippians. It is in here. It's in the Bible. If it's a verse, it's in the verse book, and this is the verse book. And it's Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We're not going to read all of Psalm 119. That's longer than the book of Philippians. But we're going to take just several verses here, starting in verse 9. And this is why maybe somebody here has never really dwelt on this particular verse or this passage. Right in the beginning of whoever wrote Psalm 119, the second stanza, which they're in stanzas of eight verses each, and the second stanza starts with a great question. It says, how can a young man cleanse his way? Well, that would go for a young girl too, wouldn't it? And it would go for an old man or an old girl, woman, I'm sorry. But how can a young man cleanse his way? And the answer is simple, by taking heed according to your word. Not just reading, but heeding what you've read. By taking heed according to your word. And the writer says, with my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I've declared all the judgments of your mouth, and I've rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. And listen to what this writer says. I will meditate, that means think, again and again, upon your precepts. I will rehearse them. That's what meditate means. I will contemplate your ways, and I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. So read over that again sometime later on. But remember this, how do we cleanse our ways? How do we walk in purity? How do we walk in cleanness? How do we walk in holiness and righteousness? By listening to God's word and taking it to heart, by taking heed according to your word. So are we ready? I'm ready. So here we go. I'm going to read off of my iPad because the words are bigger. Follow along with me if you like. Oh, and Father, I pray you'd bless this reading of this letter. It must have been a setting just like this when it was first read. A letter that arrives from Rome, and Christian brothers and sisters, and even the ones that weren't getting along, sat and listened to the very words that we're about to read here together. Help us to heed your word tonight, in Jesus' name, amen. I hope this is going to be as much fun for you as it is for me. If at any point you want to read out loud together with me, you're welcome to do that, but here we go. Verse 1 of chapter 1. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. I bet somebody's marking that verse. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray. Boy, somebody must have just said, wow. When Paul, I shouldn't have stopped like this. I better not be stopping like this as we read. How greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. Like the love God has for you, I have. And he says, in this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. Amen. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I'm hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is mo better, far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in faith, or of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me. Chapter 2. How many of you have already found a verse that has gotten you? Okay. Chapter 2. Some of you are going to grab one here. And then Paul says, therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, and let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself, and let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. And let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure, and do all things without complaining. Is that really in there? Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I'm glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. And therefore I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick, almost unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. And therefore I send him the more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem, because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. We're more than halfway through chapter 3. Finally, this is the first finally. He's got at least one more finally before it's final. But he says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised, and here's his testimony, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I've counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as, what's that word? Rubbish, dung, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. Let me say that again. I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. And brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now tell you even weeping. Can you imagine this? Tears were in Paul's eyes as he was writing this. I tell you this now even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For your citizenship, our citizenship, is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our, read this with me, lowly body, that it may be conformed to his, what? Glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. How many of you have a dilemma right now? You don't know which one you're going to focus on. How many of you got more than one marked? Yeah, me too. Okay, last chapter. And therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, Zunzugos, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Read that again with me. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. And be anxious for nothing. We should read this together too. Verse 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And finally, brethren, let's read it out, okay? All the way to the end together. Here we go. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard of need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. And now you Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but only you. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are here with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Amen. Well done. Did that take us 15 minutes? Did anybody time it? I don't know. I didn't time it. But I'm going to ask whoever is passing out those papers. You already have them? Good. Thank you, guys. Grab one of these, and I'll just walk through it with you. And we'll just talk about what I hope for some of you is going to be a really, really wonderful rhythm in your life. Might even become one of those holy habits. Not all habits are bad habits. There's some wonderful habits to have. And this could be one of them for you. So we're going to do what we call the SOAP approach. How many of you remember this? Some of you who have been here for a while, you know all about this. S-O-A-P. And that takes us back to Psalm 119. How can we soap up? How can a young man, woman, old man, woman, how can we cleanse our ways? It has so much to do with the Word of God. Reading it, knowing it, studying it, maybe memorizing it, getting very familiar with the Word of God, then heeding what the Word of God tells us to do. And you'll be walking in a clean life. So, as these are coming your way, let me walk you through this. So we're going to take the word SOAP, and it's an acronym for this method of journaling. The S stands for Scripture. The O stands for your observation of what you read, something that caught your attention. And basically, what it says in Scripture, I'll get to that in a second, but Scripture observation. The A stands for application. Anybody know what the P stands for? Prayer. Because when you get done, you pray about what you've just learned, what you've read, what caught your attention. So going back up to the top, Scripture is you're going to write down on here. You can see it there on the example that's on one side. It's just, don't just write down the verse, write down the Scripture, not just the reference, but the words in that verse. Why will you do that? You're going to start memorizing it. Because you're going to write down the reference, you've read it, and you'll remember a lot of it, but when you write it, and when you see yourself writing it, and maybe when you read it back, as maybe even out audibly, anything that you can do to get yourself engaged with the text by saying it over and over, memorizing it, you're going to have a hold of it. It's going to be yours. So what does the Bible say? What verse popped into your mind? Let me see the hands of those who know what verse or what phrase you're going to write on. Okay, some of you aren't going to do it, huh? Okay, that's fine. You're still saved. You're still saved, and you're still welcome here. But what does the Bible say? So just write out that verse or that phrase within the verse, maybe up to two verses. I wouldn't go much more than that, because I know so many really caught your attention, but pick out one. Observation, what does this verse say to me? What's the message of the verse to me? And just write it down. And you'll see here, let's read the one that was written down off of Matthew chapter 10, verse 27. Oh, whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And so this person wrote down, if I'm not taking time to hear God speak in the darkness, what will I have to speak in the light? If I'm not hearing him whisper in my ear, what will I have to proclaim to others on the housetop? I don't know who wrote that out, but that's what it spoke to them. I got to be spending time with God to hear something. And then the application is, what am I going to do about it? Okay, that's what it says. That's what it says to me. Here's the application. This is such a great word. The Scripture reminds me to not only talk to God in prayer, but also to listen for his voice when I'm praying and to believe that he really does want to speak to me. So the application is, I'm going to start listening to God. I'm going to hear him. I want to hear his voice and take note of what he says to me. And then this person, they wrote out their prayer. What should I say to God about what he's spoken to me in his word? And this person wrote down, Dear Jesus, help me to hear you today. I want to be still so that I can hear your marching orders for my day, my week, and for my life. Speak, Lord, I'm listening. And so they gave it the title. You don't have to give your Devo a title, but it's not a bad idea. And their title was Marching Orders. So now you know how to do it. And for how many of you, this will be the first time you've ever done something like this. Let me see your hands. Good. You may not feel like you get the hang of it the first time. And there's no right or wrong answers in this. But at the end here, in not too many minutes, I'm going to give you about 10 minutes, 10 to 12 minutes. And I will time that, because after that, I want to hear some of you that would like to read what you wrote, would love to hear what you got from the Scripture and what God spoke to your heart and what your plans are to put that into action. And we're going to have, I think, Ikenna, do we got some music? All right. We're going to have some just instrumental music playing behind, so it's not all silent in here. And it won't be blaring, it won't be blasting. But Father, I just pray that as we take time to think through what we've read in Philippians, that every time, Father, we open your word, we want you to speak to us. We want to hear what you have to say to us. And so, Father, we take heed and we listen and ask you, Lord, to just to take this thing that we've heard, Lord, and drive it deep into our hearts, Father. Thank you for your word in Jesus' name. And bless my friends, Lord, and us as we together just take some time to write this out. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go for it. Let's hear from some of you. Anybody have something you'd like to read? Let me come your way. And let me give you one other thing. I meant to write it down. Let me see. Where did I put it? Jot these things down. When you read the Bible, always look for lessons to be learned, examples to be followed, commands to be kept, lessons to be learned, examples to be followed, commands to be kept, promises to stand on, and Jesus to be enjoyed. All right? All right, over here. We don't have time for a whole bunch. We got time for a few.
I had, in Philippians 2:7, when he said, but made himself of no reputation, that he made himself, it reminded me of when Jesus said, no one takes his life from him, but he lays it down of himself, and he has power to take it back up again. And the application was to trust him as God. He is all-sufficient. He's all-powerful. He is God. Those who come to him must believe that he is. And my prayer is, Lord, I believe every word that you say about yourself and your son. Help my unbelief and strengthen my faith. And thanks for being you. Thanks for being God.
Amen. That's good. Anybody else? Who's got one? Anybody else over this way?
Philippians 4:8-9. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, and meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So I observed that we are to think and meditate on the word of God, and he will be with us always, forever. Amen. And the application is fill your eyes, ears, and mind with the vast riches of God's word. Think and rethink all your doings and thoughts and deeds. Check them against God's word. Mm-hmm. And my prayer is, Heavenly Father, give me the burning desire to read and meditate on your holy word, to eat it and to drink it, to inhale and exhale, walk in it, and to live in it, and to die in it.
Right on. Good. That's good. Anybody else? Okay. I'm walking. Anybody else want to read what you wrote?
So I'm at 3:10, Philippians 3:10. And in 3:10 it says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. So I take it as I need to die to myself and at the same time know and believe in his life. And by how? By faith.
Right on. Yeah. Well done. Well done. Short and sweet. Anybody else? These are good.
I have Philippians 2:27. For indeed he was sick to the point of death, but God had mercy on him only, but also on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. My observation is God's mercy extends to death. He cares for our sorrow so that it doesn't overwhelm us. He can do more than one thing at a time. and my application is thank God for his mercy that I won't drown in sorrow from others or their misfortune. And then my prayer is, Father, please sustain me in my suffering and sorrow. Thank you for your mercy toward me today and always.
Yes, yes, yes. This is it. This is it.
I didn't know there was going to be homework. there was a lot, but the one I picked was Philippians 4:4-7. It's rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your mind through Christ Jesus. There's so much in that. I said, In the first, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. I said, we need to be an example to others. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we not good to preach and not show it. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. I said, don't stress. God is in control. Pray for my needs. Mm-hmm. And then it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, which is important. I mean, I said, wow. Will guard your mind through Christ Jesus. And I couldn't put this in any other words, and God will be your chill pill. I didn't know how to put it. I was like, I know something like that. So that was my observation. And then the application is pray and be confident in the Lord. As simple as that. I mean, we could expand on it. But and the prayer was just simply, God, thank you for caring for me and for my needs.
Right on. Well done.
Some of you are writers. And some of you are snippet writers, and that's great. I mean, you make this fit whatever works for you, but it's just engaging with the scriptures in a way that it's more than just reading through it and then wondering what did I get, and just recording and reminding yourself God spoke to me that day. How many of you know? How many of you can look back and you say, boy, every time I open the Bible, God has something He says to me. Think about what a treasure it would be for, I'm going to think generationally now. Think what a treasure it will be to your children and your grandchildren when they find your journal of what you dug out of God's word. If they can read your handwriting, that's another issue. You might want to think about that as you're doing that. But I just want to encourage you, stay in the word on your own. Read, meditate, journal, and pray it into your soul and into your heart. And then what's the best thing to do with it once you've got it? Give it. Yeah, give it to another person. I'll read you what I wrote in mine, and then we'll pray and ask Jesse to come on back out. I can't remember what verse it was. It was in the first chapter. I think it was verse 17 or 18. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, serving or striving together for the faith of the gospel. If I can read my own writing here, my observation was the worthy walk is a corporate walk, standing fast together in one spirit, in agreement on the gospel, striving, working hard for the cause of the kingdom for Jesus. Nothing would make this imprisoned preacher, Paul, happier than to hear that the Philippians were loving one another and laboring together to reach more souls. And then my application is, who do I need? It's a question to myself. Who do I need to reconnect with and reengage with in the work of the gospel? Are there any relationships that just need to be tightened up? And then, oh Lord, forgive me for any way that I have allowed the wrong kind of social distance between me and some of my gospel friends. And please reunite us if there's been any of that. So let's pray together. And is that helpful to anybody? Is that intimidating to anybody? Yeah. Get over it at home alone, and you'll thank yourself for it. You really will. And you can find this journal somewhere, probably even online. I would imagine, well, you can get everything online. But it's called the Life Journal, and it's just page after page of blank pages that kind of coach you through it. And the system that I just talked about is outlined in the beginning of this. It comes from New Hope Churches out in Hawaii, from Pastor Wayne Cordero. He's the guy that put this together, and everywhere he goes, he shares it with others. So I hope that will encourage you. But Father in heaven, I thank you for your word. It is the treasure that we leave so often just all locked up. And help us, Father God, to be diligent to take your word in and to meditate upon it, to feast upon it, to take heed to your word, that we might live clean lives and we might live powerful ministry, Lord, out day after day after day, filled with your word, not just with our thoughts, Lord, not just our own thoughts, Father, but your thoughts. Your word is filled with your thoughts. So feed us from that, Father, as we give ourselves to your word. And we thank you, Lord, for this time together tonight. And thank you for this beautiful book of Philippians, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together. So when you read, Look for lessons to be learned, examples to be followed, commands to be kept, promises to be enjoyed and to stand upon, and Jesus to be enjoyed and trusted. Amen. Grace and peace to you. God bless you.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.